A routine is a good thing to have. And sometimes a routine is a good thing to break. Break free. Start your morning at McDonald's with a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, or sausage McGriddles for just $1 each. And add any size soft drink for just $1 more. Because if you don't deserve a morning that's a little easier and a lot tastier, who does? Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
This is a hamburger. And this, friends, is a Whataburger. A fresh 100% beef patty so big it can only fit on a 5-inch bun. Oh, there's another. Someone's going for a double. Maybe it'll be topped with melted cheese and... oh my goodness, grilled onions and grilled jalapenos. I'm not sure the speakers can handle any more sizzle. Good thing you can do more than just hear the difference. Good thing there's Whataburger.
Live on Michael Angley, live on United Public Radio Network in Never Never Land, because you know what? It's Never Never Land because you're never going to get me satisfied by this stinking world, and you're never really going to, you know, be able to function in the machine and be happy. You know, happiness, man. Happiness, you know? Think about it. Are you happy? Are you happy out there? Worldwide audience, hearing from people all over the world. I like it when you guys send me little emails, as long as you don't go into great detail about stuff. Sometimes I read all the stuff, man. You know what? I like to read a few sentences of your stuff and give you one liner back, and that's kind of cool. It's a cool way to communicate. I'm a texting kind of guy. It's a texting kind of world. It's like a one-sentence kind of world. And then there's a lot of people that want to tell you about their lives. And I love that, man, you know, especially if you're like in Ireland or something, you know. And there was this woman in Ireland who hated me for a long time, but she listened to every show. She listened to every show until I said something that she liked. and she loved me ever since, you know. And it's kind of cool listening about people's lives and what they got to go through every day. And, you know, just because I'm here in the United States doesn't mean that we're not the same. We all have the same wants, needs, and desires, technically so. We all want to be safe. We all want to have our bills paid. We all want to have our rights intact, you know what I mean? And when you talk to other people, like sometimes people hit me up like in Africa, you know, some like countries like Zimbabwe or whatever. If you have it pretty bad, it's sad to hear the story. And it's also like hard to respond. You know, you talk to like this dude who lives in one room with his six sisters, you know. I'm not going to laugh about it, but it's like, how do you respond, you know? And he's like, you got a shack and, you know, go out every day and try to find food. You know, you got a cell phone, you got the internet, man. You know, the guy can go to a cafe and do that type of thing. It's cool to reach out to the world. And then so many people, you know, it just strikes you that so many people want to strive beyond where they are or what they are, you know, in the place that they live. And kind of like in their mind, you know, the United States of America is this amazing place because you can have any kind of life you want here. You know, even our poorest people here have it better than some of the wealthier people in some of those countries. You know, it sounds crazy to say we got poor people here that have widescreen TVs and they have cars and they have pretty good life as standards of not having to have to work because the government takes care of them. But then there's people that we save from other countries, from despair, from abuse, from terrible things, you know. So Representative Omar is one of those people. She's from Somalia, right? And we saved her life, literally. If she was still there, especially with her big mouth, someone would have stoned her already. I'll tell you this. It's good to appreciate the people that save your ass, you know? And if you're trying to escape a country because of its tyranny or because of its Islamic law and how they torture women and do terrible things or whatever the hell you're escaping, you don't go to the new country that's all free and try to dictate with the same rules and tell people that they're evil and they're racist and they're horrible and whatever, and this country's terrible. She goes on and on how terrible the country is and the people here, Jewish people or Christian people or whatever. You know what? Just be happy that you're here. Be appreciative that you're here and that you're not still where you are. So then, of course, Trump got into it with her a while back and said, I'm going to, you know, go back to Somalia. And then, you know, a lot of people, especially black people in the United States of America, are very sensitive when people say go back to Africa, because that's kind of like a racial disrespectful thing to say to someone who is black, since most of them here were born here and their parents were born here and their grandparents were born here. So they're as American as anybody else. In fact, me personally, I don't like the term African American, because I'm not going to put some continent over the people that are from this country. You know, black people in America have fought in the Revolutionary War. They fought in all the other wars and then were crucial for the development of this country. And then, yeah, have been terribly mistreated, and other people too, man, you know, not just African Americans or whatever you want to call them, but black people. Let's just say black Americans, because I know a lot of Native Americans, you know, who were here. And then, you know, think about the millions that were slaughtered. Think about the people out there that have suffered, you know, the women, the children, whatever, at the hands of the ones who came here from somewhere else. And then they saw it fit to take those lands for themselves. So you know what? I don't make excuses for people. I don't apologize for other people. I know things happen in this world and they shouldn't have happened. I know things are happening like that in this world and other places right now. There are countries in Africa where you can go in and buy a human being for $50. $50. You know, and that's still going on. And all the civil rights leaders in the United States of America, the pseudo, so-called, fake-ass civil rights leaders, because they're not. Al Sharpton is not a civil rights leader. He is a narcissistic, self-interested turd. And no matter how you try to polish that turd, it's still a turd. Still looks the same, still smells the same as a turd, you know? And I only respect people who talk and walk the walk. If you're going to go out there and be real, then that's good. You go out there and just be self-interested and fake. Well, of course, we know where that ends up. So you know what? It's a suffering world. And then you have a thing like the United Nations is supposed to be out there helping people in strife. United Nations peacekeeping force. What a bunch of bullcrap. Keep peacekeeping force. So how come they're not there in Honduras and El Salvador and places alike in Guatemala trying to control MS-13 and other gangs? Oh, no, can't do that. That's actually helping someone. Can't help people, you know? Can't be the UN and help people. So it's a world of facades, man, of commercials. You know, everything's a commercial, as a matter of fact. You see a commercial everywhere and anywhere. You see it on your phone. I had an ad in a fortune cookie. Open up fortune cookie. Flip the thing around. And there's a little ad out there for fortune cookies. It's like the fortune cookies advertising on me. You know, that's your future. It's an ad. It's an advertisement. Advertisement for drugs, advertisement for food, whatever the hell's on there. Whatever they think they can use to motivate you to go and buy their product, right? But the best stuff is that middle of the night workout gear, right? Like 2 or 3 o'clock. It's your most tender time if you're still awake and if you're blasted at something and you're up and you're like, I'm going to change my life, man. Look at that Tony Little working out in that machine. Look at his little legs go so fast. I'm gonna buy one, man. Call beep, and Tony Little, man, gotta get that machine. Okay, give me your credit card number, dumbass. You're never even gonna open the box. You're gonna sell it at a garage sale 15 years from now. It's a fat slob that you are, but go ahead and buy it anyway. Go ahead and buy it. Tony Little's gonna laugh all the way in the bank. He's gonna kick those little legs all the way to the bank, man, and laugh the whole time going. Right? But I'm not saying you can't change yourself. I'm not saying you don't have to change yourself either, you know. I mean, like, it's a world of givens, misgivens, givens. Look at people on television, man. Most of them suck, right? And then they're on there telling you your business. They don't care whether it's the dude on the news or some preacher or Sesame Street. They're all telling you your business. It's not called programming for nothing. So 9/11 comes, which is yesterday. Everybody's somber. Lost 36 people from my town, Rockville Center, New York. You know, good friend John Sherry. We went to kindergarten with that dude, man. You know, and just all of a sudden gone. Gone because of crap security, people's ideology, a world of hate. Do you know what I said? I published their names and I said, you know what? You don't pity the dead, you pity the living, you know, and that's kind of where we're at. And that mentality still exists. That hate still exists. And everything that led up, everybody's got their conspiracy theory. I don't even want to talk about that. It's right now, it's a moot point because truly there are guilty parties out there that still need to be brought out. And that's never going to happen. As a matter of fact, I was flipping around the channels. And the History Channel is on there. They honor George W. Bush like some kind of hero. Like some kind of hero. Your hero? The guy's a devil. He's not the devil, you know? He's just a demonic scum. You know what I mean? Hero during 9/11. 9/11 happened partially because of his crap security. Because of the way they did things. Because he was sitting there in Crawford, Texas the whole summer doing nothing, refusing to meet with his security chiefs. They had to fly down there to meet with him, and he still wouldn't meet with them. Wow. And then 9/11 happens. Lo and behold, blame everybody else. They said, oh, the one plane that was up in the air was George Bush. Oh, we had to save the president. I'm like, why? He didn't do anything for anybody. He didn't run anything. He did nothing. And there was two planes flying around, you know? There was also one picking up the Bin Laden family, taking them back to Saudi Arabia, right? So, you know what? The Patriot Act, all that stuff that came because of that, and the Patriot Act was actually drafted 9 months before 9/11. People were waiting for an opportunity for a privacy push, and they got it. They got it. And nothing, you know what? Patriot Act is still there. Obama said when he got elected, he was going to let the sunset provision of the Patriot Act kick in, and then that was going to be it. It was going to go away. No. He signed it back in and signed it back in again. So, yeah, man, you can believe these politicians at their word. I always laugh when people are like, oh, my God, I can't believe that so-and-so lied. You know, a politician lied. All is lost. You know, all is lost. A politician lied. I'd freaking fall over if they told the truth. You know what I mean? George Bush a hero? That's never going to happen. You know, he's a slug. He's a slimy slug that leaves a trail of slime wherever he goes. And you can sit there and say hero, whatever. You know what? He is what is part of what's broken. And when you honor, you know, history books, they're written by people who are in control, right? History is written by the victors. So whatever, man. Maybe one day the truth will come out. We still don't even know the truth about John F. Kennedy and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I don't think we're going to know the truth. That was before my time. I don't think we're going to know the truth about anything because the ones who are in charge don't want you to know the truth. And if you have the truth about them, you get suicided in your jail cell, you know, or you disappear altogether, or some bizarre accident befalls you, or you were working out and your weights landed on your head somehow. You know what I mean? So tonight, right now, as we speak, Eastern time is Democratic debate. If you're listening to me, you realize that there's probably no reason for you to listen to the Democratic debate. You know, I am going to tune in after the show. The first hour is bullcrap anyway. They go through introductions on who's who and what's what and what kind of cheese they're trying to sell. This is the deal. The Democrats have no one. They have nothing. And no matter if you don't like Trump, it doesn't matter. He's not going to lose because he has no one to lose to. But it's my sneaking suspicion that someone's going to come in from left of field. They're going to wait a little while longer, let another couple of these debates go by, let people weed out the field, and then they're going to come in with a lot of middle-of-the-road weight, middle-of-the-road that you know what? You need that middle-of-the-road person to sway these voters. You'll get the Democrats no matter. I think these guys would vote for the devil if the devil popped up. and said, hey, vote for me, you know, because they want Trump out that bad. There's a lot of Democrat politicians that don't want Trump out because they're making tons of money. When they do their fundraising, they get tons and tons of money to fight Trump at every turn. We need to fight him at every turn. No, no, don't solve the homeless problem, right? Don't help people with their lives. Don't lower taxes and property taxes and let people have a little bit more of their money to keep at the end of the day. No, forget all that. Fight Trump. Impeach him, right? Go ahead. Waste our freaking money and time. Sit there on your asses and like a bunch of sour babies and sit there and say, bad, bad, bad Trump, we're going to fight him. Whatever, man. You know what the Democrats do? They're all about, they don't practice what they preach, you know. They're all about name calling. They're all about hating. They're all about getting in your face and telling you stupid if you, you know, think anything else other than their party. But tonight's debate, I can't believe people like Cory Booker made it into debate. They're going to kick Yang out. This dude Yang actually has some kind of support out there, but he will never be president. And I will tell you why. Because he's not ready. He's not able. He's not qualified at nothing. So it means you have to vote somebody out who's been in there, who's actually working the system and has a lot of open-ended game to close, and then have, and then also all of a sudden midstream, you're going to put somebody else in there who got no nothing what they're doing. They have no foreign policy, nothing, no clue. The only thing Yang can say is that we're going to go after the big corporations and give every American $1,000 a month in your pocket, which to me is buying your vote. Come on, man. Here's a politician offering you money. Vote for me. I'll give you $1,000 a month. You know what? There's a lot of people that are like, whoa, $1,000 a month for that guy. Okay. Then Beto O'Rourke, you know, Robert O'Rourke, Beto. That's funny as hell to me. Robert O'Rourke. You know, you ever listen to the guy? All you got to do is listen to him for 60 seconds. That's all I say. 60 seconds. And you're going to be like, this guy's a freaking idiot. He's running? No, that dude, Castro, who wants to open up the border, decriminalize it so anybody can come in. It'll be a mass exodus from every other country to make their way to that border to come in. You will have millions, tens of millions of people pouring over that border would completely destroy our society. The crime would be out of control. There'd be no money left. Everything would just be a total destruction. Oh, you think that's a good idea? Oh, yeah, yeah. About Kamala Harris, she lost speed really fast. She went after Biden's throat. She looked like someone just beating up an old man, you know? If you watch that debate, you like feeling sympathy for Biden all of a sudden. You're like, man, this woman's stomping on his nuts, basically putting a KKK hood on Biden and saying you're racist. I don't have a racist bone in my whole old body. the comedy value of the clown show. It's just, you know what? It's for free, basically. Yes and no. Elizabeth Warren, she's going to scalp Biden tonight. She's been sending up smoke signals and beating the war drums for quite some time. This is her match, you know? I mean, she's getting big crowds now. You know, over 10,000 people, allegedly, are coming to see her when she's making these stops. Biden, he can't get more than, I think, 50, 60 people. I don't think that Biden's actually had any kind of draw at all. And this is who the Democrats are focusing on because they think that he still has some kind of electability over Trump. But he can't even maintain. They keep pointing to his gaffes and his memory losses and whatever. He can't even maintain this primary. I don't think he even wants to do it at this point. You know, it's a tough, tough game. It's hard enough going on a campaign trail if you're young and energetic, let alone being older and not energetic, you know. So, you know, Bernie Sanders, another guy. I loved it last week. I'm still posting that little clip when he stepped up to a speed bag, you know, you're punching speed bag, right? And then he punches the speed bag and it comes back and smashes him right in the face. So I put a little tagline that said, when socialism meets capitalism, you know, socialism meets the free world, right? And then just watching him, like, his glasses get all distorted and get knocked back, you know. And you know what? One of my friends from England's like, oh, you know, but you should have more respect for him because he's this and that. And he's like, you know, the liberal and whatever. He's more for the people. And I said, you know what? He's like, why did he even bother hitting the speed bag? I said, because he's trying to prove something. He's not only trying, you know, he's trying to prove his youth, and he's trying to say, look, I can step out of my bounds and hit the speed bag, but it smashes him in his face because he doesn't know what he's doing, you know? And a speed bag is not about a show of strength. It's about timing. It's about ability. And Bernie Sanders has neither of those things. So that speed bag for him was his swan song. You know, it was pretty much the end of the road. Once you see someone get smashed in the face with a speed bag, you don't want to vote for them. You know what I mean? And then you get Pete Butthugger, the mayor, the gay mayor, who can't sway gay people. His own gay people, his people, the own gay people won't support him. Lesbians hate him, you know? And lesbians, you know what? Kind of have a problem with men to begin with, honestly. Lesbians, you know, and gay men don't see eye to eye there. In fact, the whole LGBTQ thing, they really, none of those letters should be together because none of those people are supportive of each other. You know, they're all different in their own way. All those groups, right? But they're all looking for respect of other people, and they're looking not to get victimized when they go out in public. And I agree 100%, you know? So the problem is the more you draw negative attention to you, the more people are going to have an opinion about you, you know? And if you're out there supporting your community, you're a good person. And, you know, it used to be a thing like whatever your sexuality was, who cares? You know, on your block, two guys that live together, you know, they're in a relationship. Yeah, who cares, right? But when you actually get out there in people's faces and start calling them names, even though they've done nothing to you and accost you and accuse them of things, that's when people start drawing opinions, right? And that happens all the time. So, and then, you know, Cory Booker. Lord Voldemort. I keep calling him Voldemort. You know, I keep seeing these like Harry Potter movies popping up. They're playing a ton of them on television. So that's like, if you flip around, there's Voldemort. And I can't distort my brain between Voldemort and Cory Booker. I'm sorry. Because when Cory Booker's mad, he's kind of looking down. He's definitely got that Voldemort face. Now you're going to do it too. When you see Voldemort, you're going to think like Cory Booker. But Cory Booker, worst mayor Newark ever had. Newark was a crime-ridden mess before. It's a crime-ridden mess now. And then this guy's going to go out there. Now he's a senator. He's going to go out there and say, you know, it's the Republicans' fault that people are suffering there and whatever. And number one, people have a certain mindset. It depends on where you come from. I come from Long Island originally, you know, and I live upstate New York. And you know, there's many times where I consider going back home. And if you just hear it, I just said back home, right? Because it'll always be home. And the mindset down there, people on Long Island, for the most part, you can't say everybody because that's a blanket statement. The people I grew up around, my friends, and the people I've run into in my life down there. And I ran into a lot of people. I was an entertainment writer for a little while for Good Times Magazine and always going to shows, always going to clubs, even sporting events and all that and reviewing stuff. I met a lot of people. The people down there are pretty genuine, you know. I mean, where I live right now, a lot of people are really disingenuous, and Ithaca is a very big liberal area. And liberals, man, just have a fucking problem with everything, you know. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you say. They're going to freaking have a problem. Now, they've been green-lighted by all this madness. You get the AOCs, you get the Omars. These extremists have been given a voice by the mainstream media. Normally, you don't hear them. There's always some communism out there. There's always some communist. When I moved to Ithaca, they had a communist mayor. A communist mayor. That's right. Digest that, you know? There was dippy hippies running around. Now it's a drug-infested mess. And then they're giving the drugs out. They're looking the other way on drugs. They've emasculated and cut the balls off all the police, even the female ones, and they don't let them do their jobs. The mayor of Ithaca looks down on police officers, you know, and then this is a huge liberal area. But you know what? Ithaca, Berkeley, San Francisco, You know what? You have places that are just looking the other way when it comes to crime. Starting January 1st in New York State, okay? Next year, 2020, January 1st, a few months from now, they will not be issuing bail for nonviolent misdemeanors and other crimes. And bail is basically what guarantees that person to be there in court, right? There's a lot of people that need to be sitting in that jail, and they may not have committed a violent act, but they could be violent people and have, you know, the want to commit a violent act on the person that put them in jail to begin with. So imagine being victimized by somebody on your block, and then they arrest that person. Now they have a pending arrest. You're the victim. You're also the witness. Normally, if that person couldn't post a decent amount of bail, they'd be sitting there in jail, cooling their heels, keeping you safe from them, keeping them out of society, and keeping other people safe too, since they victimized somebody already. They'll do it again. The sociopaths, man. It's hardly ever a one-time deal when it comes to crime. That people commit one crime, and then they're like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. A lot of these guys are criminals, and they commit, you know, all right, repeat offenders. We'll just, they're repeat offenders, right? Now, they're going to have a situation where there's no bail, and then here they are, right back on the block again, looking at you, you know? And that's when things escalate. How many times I've seen things escalate like that, and people get killed? And so imagine the victims who are going to suffer, and the victims' families, and the community, and giving these people the green light, letting them do what they want to do. Because then they're going to think that the cops can't do anything to them, that they can go out and commit crimes. Cops are already disillusioned in New York City. The suicide rate among New York City police officers is incredible. Well, that's okay, because de Blasio is a big lip, and he hates the cops. He says it all the time. And what he says and what he does and every move he makes demoralizes them, you know? Dumping buckets of water on police officers, you know, and just basically beyond disrespect, that's an attack. No, it's an assault. I take my taser and roast that person's nuts off their body doing something like that. It's an attack. No, de Blasio, you can't touch him. You can't touch him, man. So whatever, man. California, Governor Newsom, right, signs a bill saying that they, through kindergarten to eighth grade, they are not going to suspend any children for being disruptive in class. A couple hundred thousand of them last year were suspended, right? These are bad kids, you know? And then the liberals say, oh, you can't say they're bad. It just reinforces their actions and whatever. You know, there's an element out there of people that will greenlight any type of negative behavior. And we call them liberals. And they've infested the education system throughout the United States. You know, the bottom line is, if you're the teacher of a class and you have a disruptive student, now you can't do anything. You have no recourse. You got to let them sit there and not only be disruptive and ruin what you're trying to do, but also spread that disruption to other kids in that group. And then saying that we can't get in trouble. What do you think it's going to do? What do you think that's going to bring? And how do you think those kids are going to develop knowing that there's no punishment for their negative actions? None. Because we're a nation of laws, right? For some people, for most people, there's laws. Yeah. The top 1%, 5%, no. There's no law for those people. You know, they can commit apparently as many crimes as they want, blatantly, right in your face, in the face of the media, in the face of the world. And they get away with it, even murder, doesn't matter, because no one's going to hold them accountable because they look out for each other, right? But the rest of us pigs, we have to worry about the law if you're breaking the law. Unless you're some druggie in Ithaca, then they'll look the other way, you know? They'll make an excuse for you and look the other way, right? So this is the bottom line. You're screwed, because doesn't matter where you are, this type of mentality is spreading. You know, so look at this, this rapper in there's a rapper in Sweden calling for all white people to be killed. There's a lot of white people in Sweden. This guy's from Nigeria, and they just sit there, you know. And you know what? In Sweden, there's no free speech, you know. In a lot of places, there isn't. You know, in the United States, we have free speech. We can go, unless you're on Facebook and they don't like what you're saying, they'll kick you off of there. They'll put you in Facebook jail, right? And people even have like a laugh over it. But it's a very real thing. If you're saying something that is true, especially, you know, maybe if you're making up lies about somebody and that type of thing. But let's talk about my thing. Last week, there was this girl in a town north of here, Geneva, but she's from another town called Naples, right? Upstate New York. And she defaced a 9/11 memorial, spray painted it and did whatever. So they arrested this girl. They didn't post her picture in the paper. So I kept looking and looking and looking and looking. Nobody posted her picture, right? 31 years old. And okay. What gives, man? How come they're not posting her picture? They arrested her. She did it. She basically admitted it. She did it, whatever. Okay, put her picture up. They do it to everybody all day long. They do it to me. They do it to you. You know, put her picture up. Okay, so I looked her up. I found her picture, took a picture, attached it to the story on my Facebook. And I said, well, here's her face. Now you can see who defaced this 9/11 memorial, right? And I looked her up. She's a real Trump hater, and she's, you know, definitely hardcore lib, and, you know, typical of that crew, of that mindset, and would strike out against 9/11, a memorial dedicated to the first responders and the people that died in 9/11, which have nothing to do with Trump or anything else like that. You know, they were just victims that day. You know what I mean? Victims. So I put that on there, and within a day, I got a message from Facebook saying that it violates their community standards, and they took it off. And then I said, if you click on this link for a review, right, to see if they were in error. And I did. And then within half a second, literally, it kicked back a message saying, well, we reviewed it and it still violates our community standards. So how does it violate community standards on social media to put a news story out there, a legitimate news story, not a fake news story, about somebody who defaced a 9/11 memorial, putting their face out there, right? The picture was a matter of public information. I put her name in and I looked her up. It was her, you know. I identified the person. I put it out there so you can see her face. How is that? So they said it's bullying, right? Because initially they said it violates their community standards on bullying and harassing. Is it harassment to arrest someone and charge them with a crime after they committed a crime? No. Is it harassment to post someone's picture, especially since I'm in the media? I do these radio shows, you know, and I'm out there. I do a lot of stuff. I've always been in the media in one way or the other, right? It's just interesting how Facebook allows so much other stuff, you know, that I would consider, you know, a violation of community standards. But you know what the real violation of community standards is, really? Somebody defacing a 9/11 memorial out of ignorance and stupidity. And I think the people that do that need to be shown, need to be brought out. You need to know who your neighbors are. You need to know what's what. When they commit some horrible act like that, they did it, right? It wasn't an accident. They did it. So that's my problem in general with social media. They're under no obligation to honor the United States Constitution, by the way. You know, not any obligation. There's a lot of times in my life where I had an aha moment. One time when I contacted CNN that they did a news story and they got all their facts wrong, and I happened to have all the facts. And I told them, and they said, well, that's okay. We don't have to list the facts. Just the news story, you know. The guy told me, a producer for CNN told me, that they're not in the business of telling the truth, is what he said. Not in the business of telling the truth. I'm like, wow, I get that. Now I see where their ratings are at, and I see the horrible people on there and how they run CNN literally into the ground from where it first started out when Ted Turner started the network, you know, and where it is now. It's horrible. But then all of them, look at Fox. I don't watch Fox anymore, really. You know who I watch on there? A little bit of Neil Cavuto. He gets on my nerves sometimes. You know, I don't watch any of the nighttime people. They're all It's pointless to watch any of them. And I don't do the five. I used to watch the five. I don't watch it anymore because of all that Donna Brazile stuff. They hired people that CNN fired because they're terrible people. And here's Fox hiring them. So they don't need my business, right? There's no reason to watch it if it's going to aggravate me. I'm not getting my news from them anyway. I just sometimes I like some of the conversation, you know, but it's really the whole thing is a setup. It's an agenda pushing machine, same as MSNBC and all the rest of them, you know. So where I get my news from is the internet, the world. You know, I have my sources. It's kind of like if I want to know what's going on in the United States, I got to look in British papers. If I want to know what's going on in Britain, I got to look in like Israeli papers. You know, it's kind of like you have to know your country to see what's going on, where you're talking about, because nobody wants to tell the truth about themselves. You know, they don't want to tell the truth. They don't like it. And they don't want to finish the sentence either. Because they're all in the same boat together, aren't they? So anyway, someone wrote me and asked me who I thought was going to come out from left the field, Democratic contender. You know, I'll say who can come out. You know what? Hillary's been on. I know you don't want to hear about Hillary. I would like to see her lose again. Honestly, she has been out there going on campaign tour. I mean, she went to New Hampshire. She went to Iowa. She's going to all these places, talking to all these people, meeting all these women's groups and other groups and whatever. She's not out there trying to hawk anything or sell her book or whatever. You know, she's out there selling herself. So don't be surprised if Hillary comes out, you know, in maybe January, after the holidays or something. You're going to see somebody that could very easily enter the arena, you know, especially since there's so many in that debate field and they've been narrowing it down. It was like 22 people, maybe 23, and they've narrowed it down. Now they've got 10. And, you know, but these other people who are still running, they didn't drop out. They're just not in these debates. You know, they're just going to be on their own. And I've noticed that Fox is giving an awful lot of airtime. Every time I'm flipping around and I go through there to some kind of Democratic candidate, Cory Booker's on there a lot. And I'm not sure if it's Harry Potter or if it's Fox. I'm like, wait a minute, because the channels are kind of close to each other. There he is, Cory Booker trying to trying to torture Joe Biden tonight. You know, he'll look at him, he'll be like, crucial. And Biden's like, I know, I got Harry Potter on the brain. I don't know the why. So, I don't know. Oprah Winfrey, man. I was just talking to Joe Montaldo before we went on the air. You know, Oprah Winfrey, she was talking about it, and a lot of her friends were trying to get her to do it. It would be Clash of the Titans, Oprah versus Trump, right? And you can't say anything to Oprah because she's a black woman, you know? Like, you automatically in this world, if you say anything negative to anybody of color, you're a racist all of a sudden. All of a sudden, they're making that word mean nothing, honestly. They're making the word racist meaningless because of all this nonsense that they're peddling, you know, and people's knee-jerk reaction on hate crimes. If you look at statistics in police departments and the reports of hate crime, and then... This is funny, right? Because these candidates, the Democratic candidates, especially Bernie Sanders, uses this in his spiel, saying that since Trump has taken over, hate crimes are up in the U.S. But when you look at the police statistics, these are reported hate crimes. And then after they investigate, they realize that it's not a hate crime. It's just the people who initially called 911 saying, this person's attacking me because I'm a woman. Right? Or I'm black, or I'm gay, or and then it turns out it's not. So reported hate crime, but they like to fudge information. They like to use things and twist things for themselves so they can prove their point. So hate crimes are not up, but stupidity is up. And there's a lot of stupid people running around, you know? So if you think that you're going to face down an Oprah Winfrey, you see, Hillary has gotten lots and lots of skeletons in her closet, even most recent ones like this guy Epstein and pictures of her husband popping up all over the place with these young girls with his hands around them, like that Prince Andrew. I love the Prince Andrew thing with his fingers in the girl's pockets and his hands around her, like, you know, it's like she was like right there in his arms, man. And you don't put your front fingers in someone's pocket without like really knowing them and being intimate and close to them, right? So then there, his family came out and said, no, his fingers are too fat. That's not him. Like every excuse that you can think of, he even shut off the comment section of his online crap because people were slamming him with this whole thing, right? And Bill Clinton, too. He's right in there with all these young girls down the plane, all over, at the island, the whole bit, right? Hillary Clinton, too many skeletons. She's got no, as she faces, because what Trump used against her was her own stuff. Her own, you know, criminal activity or whatever you want to call it. I see people constantly, oh, Hillary's going to go to jail. Oh, Comey's going to go to jail. All these people are going to go to jail. I'm like, no, they're not. They're in control. They're the top 1%. They're not going anywhere. And yeah, they've done terrible things. They've lied, cheated, stole, whatever, man. Worse. Can Hillary run and beat Trump? You know, maybe. Maybe. Because you're only talking about a couple of states that aren't necessarily doing well. You know, all these numbers that Trump is putting out there don't match up to the real numbers. A lot of things he says, lo and behold, aren't true. You know, even Bolton, how you know, he lost his security advisor, Bolton. So the conversation went to Bolton. Bolton says to Trump, I'll resign tonight if you want me to. And Trump said, no, we'll wait till tomorrow, you know, and discuss it. Trump comes out the following morning and says that he fired Bolton that night, you know, and Bolton says he's lying. It's stuff like that, you know, that I don't like, I can't get down with. And there's, I can give you a laundry list why I don't like Trump. So, and then I have a lot of friends that do, got family that do. I'm not going to put people down. You know, I defend his policy sometimes, but in the terms of likability from a 0 to a 10, I put Trump at like maybe 1, you know what I mean? In my book anyway. So, but then again, Democrats have no one that can beat him. But if Trump ran against an Oprah, you might laugh at Oprah. But she built an empire. She knows how to negotiate. She knows how to deal. She also has a certain amount of class and respect about her, you know? And there's a lot of people that would vote for a black woman of that kind of weight and power to see them get in office, like how Barack Obama getting there being biracial. There was a lot of, if Barack Obama was Caucasian, he wouldn't have won necessarily. I mean, he did run against John McCain, which is a joke. Because John McCain, it was horrible. Horrible. With his trained monkey, Sarah Palin. Really? Really? You know what I mean? So that's a whole thing in and of itself, but he wouldn't have gotten past Hillary is my thing, because Oprah ended up backing, of course, Barack Obama. And not, she's not every woman. She didn't back Hillary, but I don't think Oprah liked Hillary at all. I think that she has her opinions. But if Oprah ran against Trump, it would be a hard nut. I would say very hard nut for Trump to crack, especially with all of his nonsense. And he could name call on her and give her those names he gives to people and all that. It'll bounce right back off her and land back on him. I don't think that you could play that game with an Oprah Winfrey. And she's very, very strong-willed, very powerful person. I've seen her in a lot of interview settings, you know, I didn't watch her show. But I know that she was well-liked. And I think that she could do the job overall. I don't know about foreign policy, but judging from Trump and his foreign policy, especially this deal with Iran, now he's looking to follow Macron. We're going to listen to the French and follow him and give Iran a $15 billion line of credit for them to go back to the original deal that Obama brokered to begin with, which Trump said, I don't think he said anything less than 10,000 times that it was a terrible deal, a bad deal. You don't know how to deal. It was a terrible deal. We got a terrible deal. He said that thousands and thousands of times. And he personally torpedoed that deal. Now he realizes that he can't handle the stuff going on. And if you notice about Trump, he constantly backs down. The only time he ever did anything was send missiles into Syria to blow up their airfield after they suspected that Syria launched a chemical weapons attack against people, right? Which may or may not have been true even, you know? Because if you're the rebels in that area and you want the support of the United States, it behooves you to attack those people and label the government as doing it. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm saying that type of stuff happens, you know? And their intelligence in the field, especially after Barack Obama, not so good. A lot of those agents in CENTCOM became disillusioned and left. And then they had computers take over. Let me tell you, man, computers can't go into the field and talk to people and figure things out and pay them off or beat on them or nail their nuts to plywood, whatever, or waterboard, whatever you got to do to get information out of these terrorists and these horrible people. Whatever you got to do, you do it. It's information services. It's not the Avon lady visiting. Well, maybe it is. Some of that Avon stuff smells horrible. It's noxious, man. You know, talk about torture. Oh, the Avon lady's here again. That'd be cool, though, wouldn't it? I'm like some chick, you know, in information services called the Avon lady. Well, the Avon lady's coming, buddy. Oh, no, no, no. I don't care. Oh yeah, she comes in with all these like fancy bottles, you know, like one's a Corvette and one's a pistol, like all the bottles they used to have. Oh no, the Avon lady. Anyway, that's my own craziness. But yeah, give $15 billion to Iran after he criticized Barack Obama on Iran over and over and over again, and all the crap, all the money we had to give them, all the nonsense. They shot down our drone. We should have pounded the crap out of, you know, pound them into freaking hamburger meat. You shoot down my drone, you sucker. I'm going to kick your ass back to the Stone Age. I'm going to blow up all your airports and make your life a living hell. I'm going to find your own personal mansion on the hill. You know what? All these world leaders who are evil have the mansion on the hill. They all have the big palace. They all have the big muckety muck. I'm going to blow up your palace. You shoot down my drone? I would have done it for much less. You insulted my dog. Made fun of her? I'm gonna blow up your palace for that. I'd be like, man, that guy's crazy. He doesn't hurt people. He'll blow up your palace. Yeah, that's goddamn right. The last thing that dude heard, he's sitting there watching CNN, the leader of Iran, the Ayatollah. Boom! Oh, yeah. Ayatollah's gone. Got to elect a new one. Hope he has more common sense than the last one. I'm going to blow up his thing, too. No, Trump didn't do that. I don't want to hurt people. Listen, man, you can't be president of the United States of America and have that mindset that there are people out there that might be part of the damage involved in answering a call, certainly. But whatever, man. I'm going to end my rant on that right there. And you guys can imagine people's palaces exploding. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network. I'm going to go watch a stupid debate, man. Maybe you will, too. It should be really interesting at this point because we're an hour into it. They got to go for each other's throats because that's what they do. Marianne Williamson was funny. She was like, I can't believe they were so mean to me in the debate. Mean? Mean to you? Try being president of the United States of America. Obviously, these people can't handle it. This is me saying sayonara to y'all till next week. Bye-bye.
The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're gonna love this savory deal. Because now you can get three tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just $1. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're going to love this savory deal. Because now you can get three tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just a buck. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.